Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, it's Monday already. We got lots to get to. Halloween coming up this week. November begins on Friday. Can you believe that? November. This Christmas decoration's already up on Radio City Music Hall. Already. It's not even Halloween yet. So, President Trump yesterday at 9 in the morning, just to disrupt the Sunday shows, made the big announcement.
The United States brought the world's number one terrorist leader to justice. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead.
Wow. Although a week ago, did anybody know this guy's name?
Yeah, everybody knew him.
They did?
Yeah.
If I asked you a week ago.
Yeah, al-Baghdadi.
Even he's reading it. Like he doesn't know the name. Abu Baghdadi. So,
he died after running into a dead-end tunnel, whimpering and crying and screaming all the way.
See that? The Godfather would say, is this how you turn out, like a Hollywood Pinocchio? So that was pretty good, wasn't it?
You know what was the best? Watching CNN try and give the president credit.
Oh, no, I saw the CNN. It said, Trump shoots unarmed man, father of three dead. That was the breaking news. Did you see the obituaries they did in the New York Times?
Oh, I know it, yeah.
Religious leader Abu Adal Nadan has died at the age of 40. Why did they do such formal, almost flattering sort of interviews?
I don't know.
So there was a lot of talk from immediately the Morning Joe Swamp World has to go into everything that they did wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they didn't notify Pelosi and Schiff ahead of time. You're supposed to notify the House. You're supposed to notify certain people of this sort of an attack. Other countries, they notified Russia, but they didn't notify the House. So they tried to make a big stink out of, in the middle of what's going on, would you notify Adam Schiff with your most crucial secrets?
Nope.
No, of course not.
Nope.
Perfectly understandable. Why didn't they notify Biden? They said they did 12 times. He still couldn't understand it. Couldn't remember a minute later. So
he had dragged three of his young children with him. They were led to certain death. He reached the end of the tunnel as our dogs chased him down. He ignited his vest, killing himself and the three children.
Oh, there's the father of the year there, huh? Jeez. So, what's his name? Abu
Baghdadi.
Abu Baghdadi. I guess he knew he would be captured and then tortured and have to reveal everything.
Yeah.
And part of that 75 virgins you get.
Yeah, he already is. Two of his wives got killed.
Yeah, so they got to the place and they blew. This is a real fast operation. It blew two huge holes in the side wall and then all ran in. They never go through the front door because most likely the front door is booby-trapped. So they just come pouring in through the side. They were grabbing people, taking people out, shooting people when they had to. Then they got to him, and this guy doesn't sound like the most brilliant builder of shelters. Why would he have a tunnel that didn't have an exit?
I don't know.
So he went into a tunnel that was a dead end. Well, he built the place. This is his hideout.
Should have talked to El Chapo.
Yeah, El Chapo.
You know how to build tunnels.
I don't mean to criticize the dead, but this Abu. What is the point of the tunnel that goes to nowhere?
I don't know.
I don't know. And the suicide vest. I guess he wears that at all times around the house.
Apparently yeah. So. I didn't know that.
Wouldn't have been time to put it on. So he's dead.
He died like a dog. He died like a coward. The world is now a much safer place.
Now, is that good to say that? That he died like a dog? Are you going to rile up more terrorists out there?
I don't know. I think he was deliberate in terms of how he tried to embarrass this guy.
Yeah, no, I like it.
He died like a dog. He died like a coward. The world is now a much safer place.
Yeah. Although, would you have the nerve to wear a suicide vest and would you have the nerve to pull the thing? It's not that cowardly. It's pretty...
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I think if you're the leader of ISIS, you're not that much of a coward. You got to be pretty brave. Look at this idiot here. What's his name? He just took the job as a replacement. Abdullah Kardash is the new head of
Good luck.
Well, he used to work for Saddam Hussein. Abdullah Kardash, not the most long-term strategic thinking guy I've ever seen, works for Hussein. He ends up pulled out of a snake hole and shot. Now he works for this guy. I mean, well, what does he say when they call him? Abdullah, you've got the job.
Where's my tunnel?
What does he say to his wife and kids? Hey, I got the job. What? We're going to end up in a tunnel with you with that vest. So here's another great quote.
Our canine, as they call, I call it a dog, a beautiful dog, a talented dog, was injured and brought back.
He went too long, don't you think?
He went into Trump speak.
He gets into trouble the longer he speaks.
Why is that trouble? You know why he's doing that? Because the fancy newsmen of the world, oh, why does he have to say that? But to the average person in America, they go, huh, you're right. Why do you call it a canine? Why don't you just say a dog? Or canines. Who says canines?
Well, that's what they're called, canine.
No, they're not. Do anybody ever say, I got to walk my canine? Who says canine? Hey, go look in online to see if you can find canine walking service, canine sitting. Who calls it canine except government?
In this particular case where they're used, you know, as a unit, it's a canine unit.
It's a dog. Why is it a canine?
Beautiful dog.
Well, okay, let me explain Trump speaks. A couple of things he does. One, he can't just say, good job by the dog. He always does this. He does this with everybody. Is this guy great? I've seen this for 30 years. Whenever he sees it, this guy is great. Is this guy great? Beautiful guy. Talented guy. This is just salesmanship.
Yeah, he cannot just give one superlative. He's got to give extreme superlatives.
But there are always superlatives that don't quite fit. Like, you know, the guy's a good guy. He's not a beautiful guy. He's not a. I'm sure the dog is good and it's well trained, but beautiful talent. But it is. And it's okay. It's flattering.
Yeah.
The other thing he does, this is another part of Trump speak. Instead of just telling you something's good, he'll say, people are asking me all the time. Like, he was brilliant in years before, saying we got to get Osama bin Laden.
Right.
He said it in his book long before World Trade Center, got to get Osama bin Laden. So in this speech, he says, people are always coming up to me saying, boy, were you right about bin Laden? Now, I don't think anybody's really coming up to him and saying, who would even think of that in 2014, 2016? If you met Donald Trump, of all the things you might want to say to him, that's probably not the one.
I wrote a book. A really very successful book. And in that book, about a year before the World Trade Center was blown up, I said, there is somebody named Osama bin Laden. You better kill him or take him out. Something to that effect. He's big trouble.
And then he went on to say,
and I'm saying to people, take out Osama bin Laden that nobody ever heard of. Nobody ever heard of. I mean, al-Baghdadi, everybody hears because he's built this monster for a long time. But nobody ever heard of Osama bin Laden until, really, the World Trade Center.
Yeah, well, it's not in the clip, but the part where he says, and people come up to me all the time, Mr. Trump, you were right. That's the other thing he does, Trump speak. Nobody ever says, you were right. They always say, sir, you were right. It's always, sir. They said to me, sir, Mr. Trump, Mr. sir. Trump,
yeah. So,
it's just good salesmanship, though.
Okay.
Well, it's from the real estate world. If you're selling, you know, condos,
everything's wonderful.
No, you say, you know, people have been saying to me, well, it's the most beautiful bathrooms I've ever seen. And then you go, what a beautiful lobby. People are saying it to me all the time. It sounds better.
Look, and I've gotten used to this kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. Now, don't you try it at home, because the other thing is you have to practice it. You have to do it every day for like 20 years before you can do it convincingly. Otherwise, it sounds too self-conscious to say it. So, and I was talking about releasing the video. Is that a good idea?
I would think not, but...
It depends. I mean, I don't know. It depends what you're going to see on the video. They actually watch this in real time, the whole thing. So I guess one guy has, or two guys have cameras on their helmets.
I'm sure there are a lot of them with them.
And you're watching this. I don't think they have like a regular old video crew following you around.
Hey, they may. I don't know.
Guy with the mic with the fuzzy thing around it. I don't think they have that. So it's a pretty good thing. Let's see, fake news today. What Morning Joe said, he was disgusting. He was Stalin-like in the way he described the gruesome thing, and there was no reason to torture him like that. They said it was somehow torture.
Torture? No.
Yeah, the brutal killing. It didn't have to be so brutal.
Okay.
So
it's a nicer way to kill somebody, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
But he killed himself.
Well, also, listen, these commandos that go in there, it's split second, it's microseconds. It means the difference between life and death for them. So it's not like you take a look, think about it, evaluate. You have to, like, shoot first, ask questions later. There's a new leader, Abdullah Kardash. I would assume his insurance policy canceled the policy on him. So, this baseball game where he was booed at, this is last night, right?
Washington.
It's in Washington. Yeah. So it's the Washington Nationals. Now, it's the World Series. You can't just go buy a ticket to the World Series. They're hard to get sometimes. Yeah. They're expensive. It's usually sold out. So it's usually connected people that go to a baseball game. Like in the Yankees World Series Game 4, you look around the stands, you're seeing a lot of, you know, rich guys, CEOs, connected guys in the city. Pull strings, get the tickets. So remember, in Washington, it's a one-industry town. So they're all government-connected guys. They're all, you know, from senators, congressmen, their staffs, people in government. So it's a lot of government people. So that's why the president probably got booed.
We are joined by the president, Jennifer.
Although it doesn't sound like total booing. It's not de Blasio type of booing in a game.
No.
But it's booing. But if he went to a state fair somewhere, he'd get cheered like crazy. But, you know, they always say he doesn't have the media, he doesn't have the government, he doesn't have the power broker. All he has are the voters. It's not a bad situation. They even chanted, lock him up. Now, what was he being locked up for?
I guess his call to the Ukrainian president, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's a real felony.
High crime and misdemeanor.
I'd get out the electric chair on that one. We'd like you to investigate corruption. Lock him up. That's enough. Did you see Biden on 60 Minutes last night?
Yeah.
What a liar this guy is. This guy, he's been lying his whole life. When he first got into politics, in his first campaign, he announced that he was first in his class at wherever he went. Then they checked. He was, like, last in the class. He was, like, second from last. Then he talked about how he got a full scholarship. He was so smart. They found out he got no scholarship. Then, remember, he got the plagiarism scandal. He's been lying his whole life. Remember he lied about Charlottesville? How Trump said, good people on the white supremacist side. He never said that. There was one part where it sounded like what he meant was, when all the town people came out to protest, some of them were saying, we don't want the statues torn down. They were just citizens who thought, these statues have been in town 150 years, don't tear them. So he meant, you know, the citizens. And then 1 second later, a reporter says, you didn't mean to say on the white supremacist side. And then he actually says, no, of course not. Those are evil people off. So Biden is still lying about that. Biden, last night on 60 Minutes, says that the reason Obama has not endorsed him is he asked Barack Obama not to endorse him. Now, this is 60 Minutes, totally corrupt fake news. They should have stopped everything right there and just brought in teams of psychiatrists to lock this guy up. If that were true, you know how Biden is endorsement crazy. In fact, he's being criticized for that over the last couple of weeks, that he's too old-fashioned. Remember, he got the Firefighters Union endorsement. He kept praying, I got the Firefighters endorsement. You know, this stuff doesn't mean anything nowadays. It's not 1996. Last week, he came to New York to get the teacher's endorsement. And there was even columns written last week about, you know, Biden's got to stop. This is old-fashioned, these union endorsements. So he's so into endorsements. Are we to believe he didn't call Barack Obama and ask for an endorsement?
I'm sure he did.
Of course he did. Now, the only other possible excuses, you might say, well, Obama doesn't want to endorse anybody at this point. He just endorsed the Canadian presidential candidate, prime minister up there, but it's the same thing. It's basically their presidential candidate. Obama made an endorsement in that race in another country, so he's not afraid to endorse. So it is pretty embarrassing that he can't get Obama's endorsement.
Exactly, yeah.
But to go on 60 Minutes, and actually, this is the most insulting thing to you. He's calling you an idiot by talking like this. You know, I said, you know, please don't endorse me. I don't want the endorsement. No, I'm please don't. Yeah. We're supposed to believe this. Then, and this 60 Minutes idiot sit there like, He tells another big lie. He said, for Trump to call the Russia thing a hoax, How was it a hoax that they tampered in our election? Did Trump ever say that? He's not calling that a hoax. He's calling the part about the collusion a hoax. Yeah. He didn't say the tampering was a hoax. He said the collusion was a hoax, and it was a hoax. It was a total hoax. So he just lies. All these fake news people just nod. Hey, Rachel Maddow, we have to get to that. What is she up to?
Really?
Rachel Maddow came out against NBC News, did an expose on them, their cover-up of the Me Too stuff.
Ooh.
Launched into a 20-minute tirade against NBC News, talked about how upset the NBC employees are. What'd she call it? Consternation. She said, the consternation is indescribable. And of course, see, that's what I'm talking about, canine. Who says consternation?
Rachel Maddow.
Speak English. Yeah. What does that mean? They're all mad? They're all upset?
Yeah, I guess.
The consternation. So everybody thinks this is the beginning of the end for maybe Andy Lack, Noel Oppenheim, this NBC management. If she's turning on them and going public on NBC's airwaves, either that's a major turning point that they'll never come back from, or she knows something. She knows more. She knows there's more coming. She's, you know, she's one of these people that talks to Ronan Farrow and those other reporters. So maybe they've tipped her off that there's something coming.
She's not going to get fired. She can't get fired over that.
No, she won't get fired. But she usually, despite what you might think, you think she's all principle and everything, she usually checks the tide to see which way it's going. So she may know there's bombshells coming on these guys, and she wants to, and that they're going to be out in a month anyway.
So get out in front of it?
Get out in front of it, yeah. So anyway, we got lots to get to. Well, check out the webpage. There, you know, I put some of this up because we've been talking about this, and people ask about this. All these Democrats yelling about climate change. There are solutions to the climate change problem, new technology that can fix it, that's just about ready to go, and they, of course, don't want to talk about it. They'd rather just tax and regulate. But here's some video, show you some of this new technology. Also, what? Here's a great Trump hater. This is one of the greatest Trump haters ever. Watch her explode. Somebody who's wearing a Trump hat. Watch her go nuts on an airplane. They have to carry her off the plane. It's great. And, take a look at this. James Bond's greatest moments all cut together. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone. 710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Let's go to Judy in Brooklyn. What do you want to say, Judy?
Hey. Hi, Mark.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. First of all, two things. I want to say Nobel Peace Prize. Remember Obama got that? I don't know what for, but I think...
Well, nothing. He just got elected and hadn't taken office yet when he got it. It was just for being liberal, so...
Just for being apologetic to everyone and bowing down lower than anyone else could. But you know what? I think he should give his Nobel Peace Prize to President Trump. And I have a little poem. Can I say it, please?
Well, everybody's getting nauseous just at the thought of this, because nobody wants to hear a poem from anybody. Anybody says, I want to read my poem. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Roses are red, violets are blue. Guess who's dead? Abba yabba dabba doo!
That's what I mean. Whenever you hear poem, you know it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. I was at some big award thing the other night, and a woman is introduced, a very brilliant-looking woman. They said she's going to read one of her poems. Now, in the room, you didn't hear people going, oh, good. Whenever you hear the word poem, you want to... let's go to Vincent in Brooklyn. Hey, Vincent.
Good morning, Mark. Mayor Giuliani, we had the broken windows policy. Now under Bill de Blasio, we have the broken heads policy. Did you see those horrible video, the horrible video of that guy at the DeKalb Avenue station throwing that woman into the side of the train? The guy was had a rap sheet. He was arrested 18 times. And Mayor de Blasio wants to close Rikers Island. They have to build not only more Rikers Islands, they have to build more places to put the criminally insane like this person.
That's terrible. Look what it's come to. You are against prisons. You want to keep a prison. Look at this.
Exactly. Rikers Island open, and they have to build more places like Kings Park for the criminally insane, Brentwood. And this guy had a rap sheet of 18 times. That's also the problem of these liberal judges that, oh, this poor guy, he had a hard life, this, that, and the other. That could have been anybody. You can't take a car to work anymore because of all the tolls. Now you can't get on the subway. So then the putz of a governor that we had says, oh, this guy should be banned from the system for life. There's 500 stations. There's probably 1,000 entrances throughout the city to the subway system. How's he going to do that?
How do you ban somebody? There's nobody working in those stations anymore. You don't see any people working there.
Which even makes it even worse.
There's nobody taking tolls. All you ever see, once in a while, you see one guy sweeping. This guy's not going to enforce the ban.
it sounds good. He goes, oh, the first thing, as soon as it happened, he says, oh, this guy got to be, they can't even stop the fare jumpers, the fare evaders, the turnstile jumpers. How are they going to keep this guy out of the subway? Mark, you're 100% right. They have to keep Rikers open. Yeah. They have to build another. They have to build another one right next to it, and they have to build more prisons for the criminally insane. Where Bernard Berkowitz is and David Hinckley that killed John Lennon. That's where these people.
Not Bernard Berkowitz. David Berkowitz.
Excuse me, Mark.
Yeah.
And then you get these judges like Turn 'Em Loose Bruce, and who was in.
Remember him. So look what the world has come to. Vincent fighting for more jails. All right. Well, excellent call, Vincent. Thanks for checking in with us. You know, he makes a great point, as always. When the governor says, that's it, we're banning him from the subways. There's nobody working at any entrance to a subway. Once in a while, a station somewhere has a booth with a guy taking tolls in it. But he's got that glass. He can't even see through it. He can't see out. You can't see in. There's nobody on the entrances. Every subway station has 14 different entrances. Nobody watching them. Once in a million years, you'll actually see an MTA employee, the guy with the broom sweeping. He's not enforcing anything. He never even looks up. You think he's going to say to the maniac, excuse me, I believe you're on the ban list. What are they going to have, velvet ropes and bouncers deciding whether to let you in or not? Let's go to Tom in Pennsylvania. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Gotta love Vincent. Gotta love Vincent. And I gotta love being a citizen of the United States. Trump wins again. But, Mark, the reason why I called is that video that you have of that crazy leftist lady.
On the plane.
She is the embodiment of why I left Park Slope to move to Pennsylvania. There she is screaming vitriolic rage at a guy for wearing a hat, right?
Yeah.
And then what does she do? She screams being a victim.
Yeah, actually, it's a pretty good video. We have it up on the webpage. This is from a while ago, but I found this again. It's a Trump hater on a plane. She goes nuts. She goes berserk. And you look at the woman. She considers herself quite the intellectual. Let's look at this woman. You know, she listens to NPR. She has a subscription, 92nd Street Y, to go hear Alec Baldwin being interviewed by Charlie Rose. But watch her explode with hatred when she sees a Trump hat. Hey, when we come back, Michael Goodwin is going to be with us tomorrow, but we'll talk to Michael Graham, another great columnist and talk show host. We'll talk about the ISIS leader. We'll get to all of that coming up on 710 WOR.
Can't hear the whole show live? Get the rest with Mark Simone on demand. Get his podcast at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710 WOR.
Hey, Michael Goodwin will be with us tomorrow on the show. We got the great columnist, talk show host, Michael Graham. You can, of course, go to michaelgraham.com. You can get his column, the Boston Herald, CBS News. You can follow him on Twitter. But just go to michaelgraham.com. You'll get everything there. Michael, how you doing?
Well, I'm obviously in mourning. You know, when you have the passing of an Islamic scholar, it's tragic. And I was reading about the Washington Post, a religious scholar who... Since his teens, was fascinated by Islamic history and the intricacies of Islamic law. And I think we have to pause and just think about the great loss.
Now,
you know, I think about another guy that
people think you're kidding. The Washington Post, New York Times did this serious obituary for the guy.
He was an immigrant from Austria, went to Germany. He was a painter. He was a vegetarian. He was very active in German politics back in the 30s and 40s. And he met his demise.
So
his own hands. I think about the bon vivant and advocate of high protein diets. In fact, an extreme high protein diet, Dr. Hannibal Lecter, whose career as a psychologist. Just tragic to see these great people just being gunned down in the Washington Post, showing the appropriate level. It's so funny. you know, we work in the media, Mark, kind of. And you know, from the time I got in, I would have these conversations with my fellow conservatives. And I would try to say, look, it's just, you know, it's not the truth paper. It's the newspaper. You can only pick whatever stories you're going to pick. And something's always going to get missed. But it's not. And, yeah, there's some bias, but it's no big deal. I give up now. I'm sorry. I'm told this. It is beyond parody how far the New York Times, the Washington Post, and CNN instead of just abandoned even the premise of journalism and news gathering. It's just sad.
You know, you watched Morning Joe this morning. They're going on about Jesus, the president. It sounded like torture. Why did he go into that kind of right. detail? It sounded ugly. It sounded hideous.
What did it hurt someone's feelings? This is terrible. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Hey, also, I'm watching 60 Minutes, and Biden is on there lying through his teeth, and they said, you know, Obama has not endorsed you. And he said, I asked him, please, don't endorse me. And these 60 yeah. Minutes idiots sit there and don't say, wait a minute, that makes no sense. They let him get away with this.
I really wouldn't. You know, it's like, you know, if you were the New York Yankees, you had the chance to pick up Babe Ruth, why would you want that? You know, really. I mean, he drinks a lot. He takes up a lot of room. I don't need the hassle of having Barack Obama. I really don't. I don't need that pressure. You know, so. And my favorite part is how 60 Minutes nobody ever asks Biden, not the questions about his son, that is, what was your son up to? Because we all know what his son was up to. And good for him, by the way. I absolutely have. If you can shake down a private company for 50 grand a month because who your dad is, good on you, man. My dad, you know, a TV repairman from Columbia, South Carolina, I don't think I could get a coupon to Popeyes. You know? But what nobody asks is, hey, Joe, so when you were vice president and you asked Obama to put you in charge of Ukraine and corruption, after your son was already working there. What was that about?
Is that true?
He never asked the question that way. Yeah, his son was there.
Oh.
He, you know, was, well, I mean, he was never there. I mean, that's what makes it hilarious. I mean, he went to two meetings a year. But you know what I mean? I mean, his son had the connection. And then after his son was already connected, then he said, I want to be involved. He should have just said, you know what? I shouldn't be involved, or let me be involved. I'll call my son and tell him, get off the board. You know, it's fine, whatever, you know. I mean, stuff happens. You know what I mean? Once you're in that kind of elite circle, you're always going to have things bumping into each other. The question is, how do you choose to handle it? The Clintons are the perfect example. No problem having Clinton Foundation that's raising hundreds of millions of dollars from dirtbags in Saudi Arabia and Russia, et cetera. But once you become the Secretary of State, you shut it down. You don't continue to take the money. Either one is fine. Don't be Secretary of State or don't take the money. But, you know, whatever.
Hey, you know, also Biden on 60 Minutes is yelling about, this is a big thing now, we got to see Trump's tax returns. Where is his tax return? Wouldn't you rather see Hunter Biden's tax returns? Don't you think that'd be more interesting?
No. I think the most interesting tax returns probably in America would be Donald Trump's. Just because of he's a total... I assume he didn't do anything illegal because he's basically under constant audit. And I also assume that if you're A, super rich, and B, involved in New York real estate, yeah, you are definitely getting audited. Because, I mean, as soon as you say I'm a developer or real estate in New York City, you might as well put asterisks and therefore corrupt. Because you have to be corrupt to make New York City work.
Yeah,
it's designed to be corrupt.
One thing about those guys, their taxes are flawless because they know they're getting audited.
But they're flawless from a legal standpoint, not from a, oh my God, I didn't know you could do that. You know what I mean? I mean, I bet he took every trick, like every, you know, every pencil with Trump Casino written on the side was deducted as a marketing expense. Or, you know, who knows what he did? So I bet they're very interesting and clever.
Hey, Michael Graham, you're up there on the ground in New Hampshire. You see what's going on. What the hell is this Hillary Clinton up to? She looks like she's getting ready to pounce.
Every time I talk to her former bigwigs up here, they basically yell at me for even asking the question. And what that says is they really don't want her to get in, but they really don't want to say on the record that they don't want her to get in. And so they dismiss it as, you're just saying this, you're just trying to cause dissension among Democrats, you're just blah, blah. And I'm like, well, no, I'm asking the question because it's a real question. So they don't want her in. So how do you tell someone like Hillary, you don't, you know, stay away, shut up, sit down? And clearly, you know, here's the problem with with being a husband like Bill. Here's a message for all you young men out there who get involved in relationships. You can pull a Monica if you want, but if you ever do, your wife finds out about it, you're done. She owns you. She's got your testicles in a jar sitting in the fridge. And so if she says, I'm going to go to whatever, to Atlantic City this weekend and blow the mortgage payment, all you can say is, yes, Buttercup. Because she, so Bill can't go to Hillary and say anything. Because all she has to say is, really? You want to tell me what to do? Who was standing there next to you, Mrs. I did not have sex with that woman, huh? Yeah. So no one can go to her and put the mute on her and have her go away.
But if you had Biden and Hillary in a debate, you have two doddering Alzheimer's. The debate could take 7 hours just for them to answer.
And then you got Bernie, and then you got Liz. They're not exactly spring chicken, and so it's wild. I will say this to everybody: Bernie Sanders is not done.
Really?
I'm not saying he's going to win or anything. He's got such a huge amount of money, and he's got such an organization on the ground. I mean, his team loves him, and they work for him. And when you get to small states like Iowa and New Hampshire, organization means so much. Remember, the person who wins New Hampshire in a, 28 candidate race is probably going to come in first by a few thousand votes. That's 100 volunteers each pulling out another two or three people, and he has those people. Now Warren's advantage is that she's got an army that will come up from Massachusetts, and they'll do, the same thing. So, they're going to battle it out. But I'm not saying, I'm not predicting anything. I'm just saying people who've written off Bernie as he's already done. That message has not gotten through to the people who were his voters to begin with.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, Michael Graham, always great talking to you. Everybody check out michaelgraham.com. You can get his columns. You can get his talk show. You can get his videos. You can get his Twitter. Everything up there. Well, you're really good on Twitter. So everybody go to michaelgraham.com and look at everything there. Michael Graham, thanks for being with us.
And just remember how, not long ago the Chinese lost that mandate so much for reproductive rights by guaranteeing 300 million Chinese people would never reproduce. So just keep in mind these heroes of history that have been lost, according to the Washington Post.
Thanks for being with us. Take care. Everybody check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. It's my favorite video, one of my favorites ever. This is a real Trump hater, a real New York left-wing Upper West Side woman Trump hater. She gets on a plane. She sees a Trump hat. Watch her go nuts. They have to take her off the plane. We've been talking about this, and people keep asking for details. You can take a look at these videos. There's technology that should be able to solve the climate change problem. You don't need to tax, ban, regulate. This technology may fix everything. Carbon capture, this technology can take the plastic out of the ocean. Watch this video. It'll show you how all of this stuff's just about ready to go, too. It's just pretty much perfected. It's all up on the webpage. Also, James Bond's greatest moments all cut together. Just go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.